Coach, let's talk about today and these eight games, and specifically, let's talk Virginia, Florida, probably two of the best up-and-coming coaches, that next level under the Coach K's and the Izzos of the world. When you talk about Tony Bennett and Mike White, let's talk this Virginia-Florida game that we're going to see tonight.
Well, this is going to be an interesting one because, you know, and it got even more interesting on Thursday when you saw, you mentioned Tony Bennett, and Tony Bennett, you know, Virginia's Tony Bennett has been a guy who he kind of has stuck to his guns and kind of he does what they do what they do, and they did it very well. But it was very interesting on Thursday. They were getting carved up a little bit by UNC Wilmington's ball screening. And you saw some switching, and you saw a lot more switching than you've ever seen out of a Tony Bennett team. And it was really interesting to see him make that adjustment. And what I'm interested in seeing is tonight is, does some of that carry over? And do they use some of that, some more of that switching to stop Florida's attack? And, you know, Tony Bennett has long been a, you know, hard-hedged team with the fours and fives, and just that different, that adjustment he made to counter the UNC Wilmington ball screen attack when they went up 28-14 in that game. I'm interested to see how much they carry that over to tonight against Florida.
For the first time that I can remember, they seem to play small Virginia, and they seem to,
exactly,
to get a little bit of a mojo by playing small, and I was really excited to see Mariel Shayok have a big game. I've always felt that he was an X factor to this team, and some of their best wins, if you note and you look back, Shayok played really well historically in some of their best wins. It felt like things have gotten away, you know, became a lot of Kyle Guy. It became some Ty Jerome in the past. I felt like Shayok maybe gained a little confidence. Talk to me a little bit about what this playing small could do for Virginia today against this Florida team who's probably going to want to up-tempo it, correct?
Yeah, and here's what's interesting. Here's where you get the difference between that five, you know, the 5-12 matchup they had versus now it's 5-4, is that on Thursday, Wilmington was playing small or was playing spread basketball with smaller guys. So Virginia downsized, they went small ball. The thing that's tough is today it's going to be Florida's going to go up tempo, but the only problem is when they go up tempo, they're playing skilled 6-7 guys like Devin Robinson at the four, whereas UNC Wilmington saw the 6-5 mid-major power forward and Virginia match up with them there. That's the thing that's tough about this matchup today, is that Florida will small ball with you in terms of putting skill on the floor, but they still possess tremendous length and tremendous size. And that's where I'm interested to see is, does Tony Bennett stick with that small ball plan, or does he go with, you know, what has earned him a ton of success at Virginia, and that's playing too big? That's going to be the thing that I'm really interested in, is do they go small ball to match Florida's size, skill? But if they do, that puts them in some quandaries because Florida has tremendous size at those positions, even all that skill.
And I want to transition. Personally, I think that Virginia, just because experience in the tournament is such a big factor, feeling comfortable in the stage, and Tony Bennett, after having that scare, maybe will settle the Cavs down, and enough veteran players to sort of start to do what they do and maybe be a team that advances today and gets back to the Sweet 16 like they've done
well. I agree, and if I could just say, you know, you saw it the other day, Lon Parentes, you could just see, like you said, he's lived through these games. He's, you know, he doesn't get out of control. He's been in these spots, and he made some big plays on the stretch, and I think that speaks to the experience that you're talking about.
How about Northwestern? Here you are on the bright lights. You won your first ever NCAA tournament game. They're undefeated in the tournament, and now you play Gonzaga. How does Chris Collins today get his team down from that euphoric high of winning to, oh my, we've got to now execute really, really well to have a chance to beat this incredible Gonzaga team?
You go from one style to the next. You play Vanderbilt, a spread finesse team, on Thursday to a smash mouth old school post up basketball in Gonzaga. And I'm having a little bit of fun with that, but it is very interesting in today's day and age. You know, there's a fantastic article in Sports Illustrated about it. In today's day and age, where everyone's talking about 3-point and the spread, small ball, Gonzaga's playing old-fashioned, you know, 1980s post-up ball. You know, they have terrific post-up players. So now Northwestern has to transition from really guarding the 3-point line and all the spread and all the Princeton actions, the two-guard actions that they saw from Vanderbilt on Thursday, to now guarding the post-up with Gonzaga, and it's going to be a tough answer. But now I'll say this, they have been prepared for this game a little bit, and the Big Ten has gotten them ready for that in terms of having to guard Wisconsin's Ethan Happ and guarding the guys that they've had to guard throughout Big Ten play. So it has prepared them a little bit for that. But I think the Northwestern's task starts on the low block in terms of stopping Karnowski, stopping Zach Collins, stopping Jonathan Williams, because real one thing that Gonzaga does well is they get the ball to the front of the rim.
The other part that this Gonzaga team, the guard play is terrific. I've always been a big Nigel Williams-Goss fan since I saw him at Finley, and at that time was arguably the best guard in America. Now he's really starting to play at this high level this season. They've got more athletic guards than they've ever had before from a Gonzaga team. Maybe that makes it a little bit more of a versatile attack that doesn't just have to pound it in, but on top of it, they can kind of up-tempo with Perkins and this crew.
And those guys are so good coming off ball screens. They're talking about Perkins and talking about Williams Goss. Those guys are so good making decisions out of their ball screen motion. And like you said, it's a little bit of pick your poison. And, you know, I worked for Tim Kloos for a number of years, and one thing he would always talk about this time of year is, you know, they're, you know, in terms of, we're talking about Gonzaga and how many options they have. It's like, there's a reason why they're still playing. There's a reason why they have that number one next to their name. It's because they put you in so many quandaries within their offense. You're talking about playing up tempo and Perkins pushing it up the floor. You're talking about getting into a half court game and Williams Goss coming off a pick and roll. You're talking about throwing it down on the low block to Karnowski. You know, they put you in a ton of different problems. And the thing is, how is Northwestern? What's Northwestern going to take away? Because if you let Gonzaga pick you apart in all those areas, it's going to be a long night for you guys. What are you going to take away? How are you going to limit Gonzaga's offensive attack?
And what do you think's going to happen today?
I think it starts with the same problem. As good as those guards are, you have to take care of the paint. You have to protect the paint. You can't allow Karnowski easy catches on the low block. You have to force them outside the paint. Now, that's easier said than done, but you can't let them get to the front of the rim and live at the front of the rim. When I watched Gonzaga in that second half on Thursday, that's when they had success. They're getting that ball to the front of the rim. You have to force them to keep making the extra pass, keep forcing it. I'm not saying let them shoot open threes. I'm saying you need to keep that ball on the paint. You need to keep it out of the low block.
What about
Northwestern?
Northwestern offensive pace. Last thing, are you trying to do something in regards to pace here to control it a little bit? Are you worried about Gonzaga in transition?
Yeah, you can't let them get up. You can't let it get too up tempo, because that's what you mentioned. Williams Goss, you mentioned Perkins in the open court. You can't let it get too up tempo. What and how Northwestern can temper that is through some of their sets, and they have. Of any team remaining in the tournament, they have some of the more their offensive sets kind of take longer than any other team in the country. Louisville's right up there as well. But that's where Northwestern can use that to their advantage to get the shot that they want, to get McIntosh off a pick and roll, to get him off a down screen. And that's where they have success, is that that's almost built into within their offense. That slows Gonzaga's attack down, you know, and it doesn't let them get it, and it keeps that game being played at the tempo they want simply by running their offense. They're not sitting there taking the ball and taking the air out of the ball and holding it. No, they're just running their sets, and it just takes a little bit longer than maybe a Gonzaga pick and roll would take.
And that was Zach Bovaire, the assistant coach of the Army Black Knights, one of the best young coaches in America, breaking down this Virginia, Florida, and Northwestern Gonzaga game. When we come back, we'll have Coach Adam Cohen of the Stanford Cardinal. We'll be right back after this.